it is an amazing thing that I never met a woman named Kara Jepsen when she was a prolific freelance writer in Chicago, basically covering some of the same things that I cover. We have a great mutual friend in Rob Feeder, who introduced me to her and her new name and her new life. Callie Ohm is a yoga instructor and an author and a columnist for a publication I did not even know existed, Yoga Chicago. It is a pleasure to meet you, and it is amazing we never met.
It is, and I'm really happy finally we are now.
Well, what do you think? Are you happy that I've read this book? Because I know, so I put this thing on Facebook and people are like, oh boy, I can't wait to see Kogan get into yoga, as if I'm, I don't know, as if I'm some kind of caveman or something. I do know, Callie, that I know a lot of people who are practitioners of yoga, and I know most of those people are practitioners of the And keep telling me that I'm an idiot because I am. This is not my area of expertise. The physical part of it. They practice yoga as a physical kind of health beneficial activity.
That's how most people get into it in the U.S. I think when I first started in the 90s, there was also more of a spiritual component, but now it's become, I think, a little more focused on the physical.
Why is that?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe that's what's easiest for people.
Easy. Well, yeah, nobody, if someone wants to go and say, hey, you're going to do weightlifting, you don't have to sit there and listen to the philosophy of weightlifters. I get
no.
it. I get it. You were drawn, I was very moved by portions of your book and enlightened by most of it. It's titled Beyond the Mat. Don't just do yoga, live it. You came to yoga because of a tragedy.
Yeah, my mother had died of cancer. My brother and I had been caring for her for about 9 months, and she passed away. It actually was very nice because we got to say everything we needed to say to each other and be together, and
sure.
It was not a surprise.
But it's still a jolt.
It was a jolt. It was my best friend.
Yeah.
And so I had this really strange energy afterwards, and I had a little bit of time.
Let me ask you, if you had energy, did you feel it? Did you feel it loose ends emotionally and
yes.
spiritually and every other way? That's a jarring experience.
It's also seems to be a time when things polarize, like people who are your best friends aren't anymore, and a lot of things just change. And then, of course, my brother and I were fighting because that's what siblings do.
Yeah, in the wake of death, yeah.
And
sure.
So I was very much at a loss, and I had a friend who was always talking about yoga and yoga this and yoga that, and you should try it. So
had you never beforehand even tasted of the yoga world?
A boyfriend had once demonstrated sun salutations to me in Central Park, and I thought it was the stupidest thing I'd ever seen.
And you got rid of that boyfriend, I'm
yes.
assuming. Yeah. But so what compelled you then to try, you know, is it kind of like, let's just see?
It was sort of on a list of things I thought maybe I would try, despite that experience, that play bass in a band and go surfing. And so I ended up with the yoga.
No, you were beforehand, this I didn't know about you, you were a triathlete.
Yeah.
Were you not?
Just for a year before graduate school.
Well, that's still, I don't care if it's just for you. How many triathlons did you run?
10.
Well, that's a serious triathlete. So you start taking yoga. Are you immediately under its sway and influence?
From the first class, I was in hook, line, and sinker. It was at the Lincoln Belmont YMCA, and it was a very easy class, and the teacher was very sweet and calm. And it was a lot of people. It wasn't about getting into shape or looking a certain way. But what happened was that I just felt this sense of peace. Throughout the class, I wasn't thinking about my problems. And after class, I didn't think about them for a while either, and I felt very good physically. So for me, it was like a drug, and I had to have more.
You dove in pretty seriously. You write in the book, in the introduction, again, the title of the book is Beyond the Mat. Don't just do yoga, live it. My teachers often say that yoga is the science of living a healthy and peaceful life. For you, you write that yoga provides the answer to every question and the solution to every problem. You really believe that?
100%.
Wow. You must have an amazing, in the back, you tell me how to deal with winter. I'll tell you that. So you dive into this world, and you're still freelance writing, and I mean, you have to make a living. So you're kind of balancing your new devotion to yoga with a career.
Yes. It actually worked out really well. The yoga helped me learn how to focus my mind and be calm, so it was easier to meet deadlines and come up with good story ideas.
You hear that, all you freelance writers out there? Even though the freelance market is not what it used to be. I'm going to talk to Callie Ohm till about a quarter or two, so stay tuned. We're going to get into some of the details in the book. I actually found it fascinating. It does not have diagrams showing you how to do the physical part of yoga, but the mental part of it is absolutely fascinating.
Oh, thank you.
That's the famous Halloween CD by Professor Ron Penn at the University of Kentucky. You cannot buy it anywhere. He made it especially for me. Callie Ohm is in here talking about her book, Beyond the Mat, Don't Do Yoga, Live It. And for me, going a long way to kind of demystifying yoga. And I think there is, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, maybe, is there any kind of stigma left about this? It has become, I think, too many people think of it just as some kind of, well, yoga is the new Pilates or something, you know, without realizing what you have enlightened me about in the book is the other mental aspects of yoga.
I think people feel it just doing the physical practice, like you feel a sense of peace that you don't get from other activities.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, physically, it addresses every single system of the body, not just muscular skeletal, not just respiratory, but all of them. And I think that has a very profound effect on the mind for a lot of people.
Do you think that there are many people who just take it to the physical level and say, oh, man, that was great. I had a great yoga class. I feel fine now. Without wanting, because your book provides a very easy way to expand beyond that physical side of yoga.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think people get drawn in with it. I think of that like the gateway drug is the poses. And then if you want more, you keep going. And the philosophy, the breathing, the other practices that are chanting and different things I mentioned in the book.
Sure. Well, and diet, and there are all sorts of them. We're going to get into that in a bit. I want to just, you're such a fine writer. You talk about, you say, this collection is for anyone who wants to explore yoga in a way that goes beyond the obvious health benefits of hatha yoga poses or something. I would mispronounce every single thing in here. You said, but everybody's path is different. What works for many may or may not work for you. I invite you to try it and find out. I think that's very, very good advice in this thing. I'm going to give you people an example. Chapter 16, and these are a collection of columns, almost mm-hmm. as they were written for Yoga Chicago magazine, if you were among the many people, as am I, who don't subscribe to Yoga Chicago. I'm going to find it, though. I'm going to find it. Here is the beginning of Chapter 16, titled Weathering Winter Gracefully. And I think right now, truer words were never written. You write, many of us have difficulty transitioning to the cold weather, especially as we age. Good Lord. That I cannot imagine a truer sentence being written. And you give some advice about how to deal with it. Give me some examples.
Well, one thing you can do is actually go outside, even though that's probably the last thing you want to do, and acclimate to the weather, especially if it's sunny. That helps. Deep breathing gives you energy, and it also alleviates symptoms of depression. and reduces anxiety.
Well, you have a whole section in the back. This would be for every executive in America, 8 ways to reduce anxiety. You have studied, you were taking classes in the wake of your mother's death and found them instantly beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And you start taking classes once a day, then even twice a day.
Yeah.
And you traveled to the source of, you traveled to India.
Yeah. I had a teacher that, I would take workshops with all these sort of local, in the U.S., famous Ashtanga teachers, and they would talk about their guru. And I thought, well, why should I hear them talk about it? Maybe I should go there. And my mother always said, go to the source. So I ended up going there.
What was that trip like? I mean, obviously, you were open to being further influenced, but going to the source must have been a real emotional experience for you.
I was terrified to go to India, so of course I over-prepared.
Did you go by yourself?
I met a friend in New York, and we went together. And it was a tiny room in Mysore, India. The practice was Ashtanga Yoga, which is a rather intense sort of self-practice, and it's largely physically based. And there would be 12 people in this little room in his house, and we'd be sweating and doing all these poses, and he would be holding the space in the room and occasionally adjusting people or helping them in the poses. And it was, before I went, I wasn't sure if I was going to turn around and go straight home when I got there or if I was going to stay. But I was pretty sure I was going to turn around and come home. So I got a ticket where I could change the return date.
Wow.
And I ended up extending 5 times. I stayed 5 months because I was just, it was the best thing. I was so happy.
And is that when you came back and then you started teaching? How did your teaching evolve?
Well, I was at the local center. It was called the NU Yoga Center. Now it's called Chicago Yoga Center. And my teacher there, I had 2 teachers, and he was going to New York to move away. And he said I should take the teacher training and take over his classes. And I refused. And then he asked again, and I said, I don't think so.
Why did you refuse?
I didn't want to teach. I was happy being a student. I thought it was enough.
Yeah.
And then he asked again, and I said, well, okay.
But don't you think, and I got this part of from your book, I mean, many of the teachers that you mentioned, I'm not sure I can't find in the book, I mean, one of the philosophical tenets is to pass along your knowledge, is it not?
Yes. I thought I was too raw.
Oh, okay.
I hadn't even been practicing for a year. But they seemed to think I had what it took. Because then I took the training with the director of the center, Suda, who is still teaching. And he asked me to teach when the training was over. And he wanted me to teach 2 classes. I only wanted 1. He won.
Now, I have to believe Kelly Om, author of Beyond the Mat, Don't Just Do Yoga, Live It. We will tell you all the many places you can buy this. And it's a terribly enlightening book, even though it doesn't have drawings of the poses and the physical aspect. That, I think, you could probably get online if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
I was just going to ask you, how many yoga is there been an explosion? I am just basing this totally anecdotally on the number of people, most of them women, frankly, who I see walking down Michigan Avenue on summer days with yoga mats. I mean, they may not all be yoga mats, but it seems to be that there's a sort of increase in the popularity of yoga, or is my anecdotal?
Yeah, it's gone way up.
Why?
Maybe because people want it and need it. Who knows? Marketing might have something to do with it. There's also been, there's so many different types of yoga now. And then there's like corporate yoga. There are corporations.
Does that sound horrible? Yeah, corporate yoga.
That have chains of yoga studios in various places.
Wow.
So it's everywhere.
For someone who is listening, and I recommend you going online and just Google Beyond the Mat by Kelly Om. That's KALIOM, 2 words. She does have a website, too. What's your website? It's here somewhere.
YogiKaliOm.com, YogiKaliOM.com.
You can buy the book there, too?
Yeah.
good.
Well, it'll give you the link of how to get it.
So for someone who is listening out there and thinking, God, or maybe even literally saying, my mother just died and I need some help, that could be, as you did. There's no Better Business Bureau rating these places, and I know you teach at some. How would one initially start to explore this if they wanted to participate?
I would suggest finding a beginning class near your house, wherever it is that you live, so it's convenient, so you'll actually go.
That's a good idea.
If you can get a beginning class that has a series of classes that you sign up for, that's even better, because then you'll make progress and you'll have the same people in the class and the same teacher. But I say start with the beginning class if possible. You have to really go with your gut with yoga, and that's what you learn the more that you do. If the teacher feels wrong or the situation feels wrong, it is.
Get a second opinion.
Yeah, try another place.
That's very interesting. And I would think in certain neighborhoods, not in certain disenfranchised neighborhoods, but in certain, you know, north side and downtown neighborhoods and South Loop and West Loop, that there are a number of places if you just look.
Yes, and the Park District has it, the YMCA has it, most health clubs have it. The vibe there is different from the vibe at a yoga studio.
Sure.
So you have to also see what you like and what you feel comfortable with. The first time I went to a yoga studio, I dragged one of my friends with me because I wasn't sure what to expect. I didn't want to be converted.
That was like a cult. Some strange cult. They're going to make me into some kind of strange cult. Well, we got to take a break in about a minute, and we're going to get into... How good are you at the physical side of this thing? Can you do every...
No. But I can put my leg behind my head. You can't see it on the radio.
Well, there's a TV in here somewhere. Did that hurt?
No.
It would hurt me, though, right, if I tried to do that right now.
I wouldn't ask you to do that.
Thank God. The best radio guest I've ever had. She is not asking me to put my leg behind my head.
So I can do a lot of poses, but there's so many.
How many? Hundreds?
Thousands. And then people are coming up with new ones all the time.
Who are these people coming up with new ones?
People who can do them.
Wow.
My teacher, Dharma Mitra, I think came up with many poses, although he never put his name on them and he never took credit for it. Because that's traditionally in yoga, you don't do that.
Yeah, no copyright on these poses.
Traditionally, no.
Hey, Kelly Ohm, this is absolutely fascinating. We got to take a break and get some news, but we'll continue on after the news. And again, the book, Beyond the Mat, Google it. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN on TuneIn. And here with the news, I don't know if he practices yoga, but his voice is brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems, the one and only Roger Badish.
I thought you said Yoda. I was getting to the Star Wars thing.
Yeah, forget that.
Okay.
Are you scared? Are you scared? That's the famous Kogan holiday Halloween CD, Halloween being my favorite holiday, put together by Professor Ron Penn, Professor Emeritus at the University of Kentucky. I have a few more minutes with Kelly Ohm, who has been talking about her book, Beyond the Mat, Don't Just Do Yoga, Live It, which is it's been a revelation to me. And it is not, you have all these, this is not going to become my diet, I'll tell you that. I looked, you have a number of foods that eat like a yogi. That would be very hard for me, but there's some very good ideas here. I almost felt healthier reading this chapter, is what I'm saying. You have some recipes in here. You also have, and this, as I said before, could be taught at every, you know, executive seminar, 8 ways to reduce anxiety. You have come up with these lessons from your own life. I mean, this is not something that a yogi taught you, for instance, to put the phone down and ask yourself, do I control my phone or does it control me? Right?
Right. That came from my own experience and watching my students.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, even in class, they're working their phones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you, I suppose, I know you probably do a lot of yoga by yourself, because you're kind of a pro at this, but there is something, and I get from your book that it is probably better for people to do this in a sort of class setting with other people, and that appeals to me because I think technology is driving us all apart from yes. other human contact. Do you agree with that?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also there's a group energy you get in a class that you can't get at home by yourself. And the other benefit is the teacher will keep you honest. If you're doing something wrong, they'll usually explain how to do it better or more safely, that type of thing.
This is your life.
Yes. Since 2004, it's been full-time. Every time I went to India, I would come home with less journalism work and more teaching work. So it's sort of dovetailed.
In many ways, it's perfect because there are less places to print your journalism
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. This book is... When did the book come out? Very recently, right?
Last month.
Yeah. Yeah. It must be... You know, all of my great librarian friends out there, I would book this young woman to come in and talk one night and just talking about not only her book, but it could be kind of an introduction to yoga. I suppose you could even teach me, like, I'm not going to do it here, but I mean, there, when you first start, the physical notion of it is relatively, it's not going to kill me, is it?
No, and you always teach the person who's in front of you according to where their body is. So really? I would teach you some simple things that might help you feel nice.
Yeah.
Well,
who doesn't want to feel nice? Even Aubrey Mumpower would like to feel nice. I hope this book sells like crazy, Callie.
Thank you.
Amazed we never met, and I'm grateful to Rob Feeder for the introduction. You continue to study, yes? I mean,
yes.
When I say this is a lifelong pursuit, I don't mean it's like a life. It is a career for you, but it is also a learning, ongoing learning experience.
Absolutely, yeah. The learning part is the most important thing, and then you apply it. So a bigger portion of my practice now is more meditation and a little bit, I still do the poses every day, but the meditation is even longer.
When you say you do the poses every day, you wake up and do a certain number of poses to get your body ready for the day?
Yeah, so it stays healthy and I can teach safely.
How long does that take you?
About 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, and it's worth every minute, I suppose.
Yeah.
And what about your diet? Because some of the diet stuff in here was fat. Do you eat meat?
No, not for 31 years.
For how long?
31 years.
Oh, pre-yoga.
Yeah, pre-yoga. I felt sorry for the animals, and I had to stop.
What's your favorite thing to eat? What's your guilty pleasure? Because this thing, kichari.
Kichari.
See, yeah. I mispronounce everything in here. This sounds... interesting.
It's surprisingly good. It's a type of rice and bean dish. It uses mung dal. Mung dal is the only bean that doesn't produce gas.
Wow.
So it's really easy for everyone to digest.
And rice?
Yeah, and that I eat that every day. So in a way, that's my favorite food, but I like to dress it up sometimes with other things, like carrots. It's kind of boring. And ginger.
Do you ever think to yourself, I'm sure you don't, because you do practice what you preach. Do you ever think to yourself what your life might be had you never encountered yoga?
I think I wouldn't be very happy.
Really?
And yeah.
You're happy now?
Yeah, because I feel like yoga gives you the philosophy and the tools to find a peace that doesn't come from outside things. Mm. It just starts to bubble up from inside in your... Your mind is blown.
I'm going to read you some other. There's this beating the winter blues, weathering winter gracefully, What's developing a home practice? What does that mean?
How to discipline yourself so you can practice every day without the teacher being there.
Developing detachment. Yeah, every single one of your previous columns in Chicago Yoga Magazine, every one of these things is like a great life lesson.
Oh, thank you.
I really do. Callie Ohm, it's a pleasure to meet you. That you don't use your old name at all?
No, family members and old friends do, but I don't use it
Rob
that
Feeder.
Much.
Rob Feeder uses your name. Great success with this book.
Thank you.
It enlightened me, and all of you people out there who said, oh, God, I can't wait to see what Kogan thinks of yoga. When I saw Callie put her leg over her head, that is something I aspire to.
And oh, we can start as soon as we end here.
I have other guests. What are you talking? I'm talking Mike Royko from 10 to 11. Mike, who I don't think, we used to play tennis together, but I don't remember practicing yoga with him. It's a pleasure to meet you, and great success with this
book. Thank you.
My pleasure.